We are at chapter 6, and the Lord impressed upon my heart to preach on this chapter today, and let's read it together. Does everybody there say amen?
Amen.
In the year that King Uzziah died, can I tell you something, that often people don't see things till somebody they love dies. You start seeing things a little better when somebody dies. I've seen over and over, people never would come to church, but they'd come to a funeral and somebody had died that they loved. And at that funeral, God opened their eyes and get a hold of their heart. And it was in the year that King Uzziah died that Isaiah saw God. The Bible said here, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Can I encourage you, don't wait for somebody that you love to die before you start seeing God.
Amen.
Don't wait for somebody to die before God opens up your eyes. He said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. This is one of the most unusual passages in the Bible where you get a glimpse into the glory land. Verse number 2, above it stood the seraphims. Now listen to me carefully. This is the only time in the Word of God that the term seraphims are used. The only time. If God mentions something one time, you better really zero in on it. These are creatures that I believe are seen again possibly as the beast in Revelation chapter 4 that are around the throne of God. But these seraphims, watch what it says, that each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, and this is what they do around the throne of God. And while you and I here are at this church this morning in our poor human attempt with the power of the Holy Ghost to worship him today, these creatures, these seraphims are doing something nonstop around the throne of God and will for all eternity. And this is what they're doing. They are crying and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Now that Lord of hosts is an important word. That means the Lord who is a warrior, a king warrior with an army. It said he's the holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse number 5, the scene changes. And now Isaiah said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. You remember this morning, the brazen altar where the coals were. This seraphim flew and took a coal off of that altar that is in heaven. And he took it, in verse number 7, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Now let me tell you about the coal off the altar. That altar speaks of the cross of Calvary where Jesus Christ died. And let me tell you everything that you need to know about God, and everything that is true about God. God, it works itself through Calvary, from the cross of Calvary, the altar of Almighty God. And what he is saying here is that if Isaiah, watch this. Isaiah, you're a prophet of Almighty God. He wrote more than any prophet nearly in the entire Bible. This man is an unbelievable man of God. And yet he said when he saw God, I am undone. I am an unclean man with unclean lips. All right. And this, they took from the coal off the altar, from Calvary, from the sacrifice of Christ, and touched him. And that's what made him clean. Let me tell you something. It'll never be you self-reformation. It'll never be you doing your stuff that'll clean you up. It'll be the work of Jesus Christ at the cross of Calvary. There's nothing but the blood can wash away my sin. Now he said, there thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin purged. Purge is a very strong word. And I'm telling you right now, I have sin in my life that needs to be purged. And I'm asking God, Lord, I want to, what Isaiah had here. God, I want to see you. And I want, as a result of seeing you, to see myself. And as a result of seeing myself, I want that, Lord, and then having you to touch my life with the blood of Christ and with the work of Calvary. God, I want you to use me for your glory. And that's exactly what happened. And by the way, let me say something to you. Notice this. He never heard anything till he saw something. You're not going to hear the voice of God till you see the glory of God. Amen. Verse number 8, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, now watch me, whom, this is what God is saying to this church this morning and everybody listening to me. Those online, we're welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. And I want you to let God speak to your heart. God says something, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The amazing thing to me is that God said through the foolishness of preaching that he would save people. God told preachers and men and women of God to go throughout the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then said I, this is Isaiah's answer. Now this just didn't come arbitrarily. First of all, Isaiah, somebody died that Isaiah was close to, and he was close to the king. A king died. A king went into eternity. It sobered Isaiah up, even though he was already a prophet. And then he saw the Lord. And then he saw himself. And then he saw the need. Now I want to say something to you this morning. All across America, and yes, I could get up here and I could rant and rave and go on about all the stupidity and the craziness and the idiocy and the stupidity that's going on in this country. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There will not be any elected official nor group of elected officials that will ever fix America. Only a return to a vision of who God Almighty is will fix this nation. And let me tell you why America can't see God anymore, and I'm going to be flat out honest with you. Preachers who've been called are not answering. And preachers who have been answering are not preaching. And our need, and I'm going to tell you something, I'm going to show you what this did to Isaiah. There needs to be a holy vision of people in this country. And once you've seen the holiness of God, then you begin to see yourself, because contrasted to the holiness of God, we are filth. We are sewer lagoon content. I mean, we're slop. Isaiah was a holy man. He was a great man, a godly man. I would warrant that none of us could even come close to being the man of God this man was. And yet when he saw God, he said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. God, I'm filth. And revival came into his heart, and a surrender came into his heart, and truth came into his soul. And God said, who will go for us? Whom shall I send? And Isaiah threw his hand up and said, God, I'll go. Send me.
Amen.
And let me tell you about it. It wasn't, oh, I have to. God, I want to. Amen. Let me clear something out for you this morning. I want to preach on the effect of seeing God and his holiness. Some people have said, and it's probably true, and I'm sure God will straighten me out at the judgment seat of Christ. I am not a skilled preacher. I'm a rough piece of wood. God saved me out of hypocrisy, stupidity, and religion. I nearly went to hell having been baptized and going to church. And God saved me out of that. And I just don't have time for stupidity, and we ain't got time to waste. People are dying all around us. Our nation is literally deteriorating right in front of our eyes. But I want to tell you what made this nation great. We have a great Declaration of Independence. We have a great Constitution. We have a great heritage. But that heritage and that Constitution and that Declaration of Independence and that Bill of Rights came out of a generation of people who had seen Almighty God. And that's why we have what we have. And I'm telling you something today that makes me, my heart grieve. It sickens me. If you open up a mission magazine and you go to the back of the magazine, they're going to show you people who have recently entered into training for the mission field. And I can bet you a supper on it in Springfield, the best supper in town, that there'll be 90%, 80 to 90% of them will be girls. No boys are surrendering to nothing. We've lost manhood in this country. That's our problem. We're living for ourselves. We ain't got time. Don't gripe about America going to hell and going to pot if you're not willing to serve Almighty God. And I'm telling you something, except unless we get back the truth in this country, we're going down. You mark it in your day book. I'm going to show you what Isaiah did with that. But here's what I want to say. Sometimes say, Reggie, and I don't mean to do this, and I want every young person to listen to me right now. I do not mean to get up here and make God sound harsh to you. But I am serious about what I preach. If there's not a heaven, there's not a hell, and it's not real, I'm going home and eat ice cream. I ain't piddling around up here playing religion with you. You understand me? You listen to me today and you're lost, I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're lost, you're one heartbeat away from hell. And if I'm supposed to be a preacher and I don't tell you how to be saved and warn you of the wrath to come, I'm not worth spit. I'm a hypocrite if I don't warn people about hell and tell them that Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross, shed his blood, was buried, rose again from the dead, can give you eternal life, wash away your sin, save you forever in Christ's name.
Amen.
If I don't tell you that, I'm worthless to you. Oh, I can tell you how to have a better marriage till you're blue in the face until you fought 42 times and it won't keep you out of hell. I can tell you how to raise your children and that you might do a good job and die and go to hell. People need to be saved. That's what changes them. You listen to me, God, you say, Reggie, God is harsh. Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I serve a holy God and I am happy to do so.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? When, watch this. Any man or woman who has seen God, and by the way, you see God through the eyes of Scripture now.
Amen.
Through the eye of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. No. Don't tell me you saw Jesus up on top of the clouds somewhere. You did it.
Right.
The next time he comes, buddy, something's gone, bud.
Yeah.
You see Christ through this book. But you're too stinking lazy to read it. So you don't know nothing about him. So what's happened is you've carved out a Jesus in your mind that fits how you want to live. Ain't that right? You're an idolater. But let me tell you something. I want to dispel a devil's lie that has been in this church for 30 years this morning. If you ever see God, if you ever see a holy God, you will surrender to him and you'll not do it with, poor me, I've got to serve God, poor me, I've got to go to church. Poor. No. You'll say, here am I, send me, I'm glad to go, I'm glad to know a holy God, I'm glad to God this Bible is a holy God, I'm glad he's righteous, I'm glad he's holy, holy, holy. And I'm telling you something, if you ever see that, you won't feel like church is a bore, you won't feel like you have to come to church. You won't feel like you dread it. Your problem is you've never seen God.
Amen.
I am telling you, Amen. The recognition of a thrice holy God will produce honesty within your own heart and a gladness to serve him because he's the only reason for existence.
Amen.
It'll destroy your self-righteousness. It'll put truth in the inward parts, and it'll make willing, joyful servants and soldiers of Jesus Christ who march forward with the Word of God with a song in their heart and a smile on their face, saying, onward, Christian soldiers. And that's what America needs. But I don't, you know what? Once I saw God, I didn't feel like I had to do anything. I want to.
Amen.
Are you getting this? You ask yourself a question today. What is your attitude about serving God? What is your attitude about your Christian experience? I mean, do you well, God's a harsh God, and he's, yeah, you should have the fear of the Lord. No question. Fear of the Lord is beginning wisdom. But you see, when you really see God in his holiness, when you see him like Isaiah saw him, you're not going to think, unless you have no desire to get right with God, you're going to have to, it's going to thrill you. I have seen the Lord. It's going to thrill you. It's going to put something in your soul that says, I'm glad to serve God. Let me tell you about this stinking hillbilly up here. If I wasn't glad to serve God, do you think I'd come up here week after week for 30-some years and do this? Do you think I'd put up with the garbage and the stupidity and the loss of friends and family and everything else? But there's a God in heaven who is holy, righteous, and good and glorious. And he created me and he saved me and he gave his son for me.
Right.
And he said, who will go? And I'm going to tell you something. If you ever see God, you'll shoot your hand up and say, God, what can I do? God, what do you want me to do?
Amen.
It won't be. Well, you see that? You see, Reggie, how do you understand? I know about that because for 10 years, Satan kept me from God by making me think that it would ruin my life if I served the Lord.
Yeah.
And you young people, listen to me. Let me tell you what America needs, some preachers who preach this book. I want to ask you today, have you seen him? Have you seen yourself? And have you heard the call? And what's your attitude toward it? I'm asking you this morning to consider answering the call to preach. all across this country right now, churches are empty. They have no pastors. Old men, 65, 70, 80 years old, filling the pulpits, trying to keep little churches going. I want to tell you something right now. You listen to me. You get on fire for God and burn for Jesus Christ, they'll come and watch you burn if they don't like you.
Amen.
Amen. I'm talking about, listen, I don't feel like I have to do anything. And if God were not holy, I wouldn't even want to serve him. I'm telling you this. I want you to, you say, Reggie, what about Isaiah? I want you to hear what this man preached. Now, listen to me. Go back to Isaiah chapter 1. We're going to be looking at a lot of scriptures. Can we get some scriptures, boys, up on the board? And we're going to try to run fast today. Isaiah chapter 1. I'm going to show you what kind of preaching God's looking for in this country, all right? I'm telling you, it's already in the Bible. You don't have to dream it up. In Isaiah chapter 1, he comes up there in verse number 2 and says, "Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me." God is saying, "Nay, people of Israel," he said, "I brought you up, I nourished you. You rebelled against me." That's not an easy charge. You listen to me now. God is holy. God is righteous. God is gracious. God is good. But he ain't putting up with my sin, and he's not putting up with your sin. And because you've gotten by with it for a while, doesn't make it, you don't get deceived. I'm telling you something. Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Be sure your sin will find you out. Let me tell you what he said. They have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, the man asks his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Look at verse number 4. Ah, sinful nation. Here's preaching. A people laden with iniquity. This country is laden with iniquity. A baby killers, abortionists, and sodomites. And perverts and fornicators and adulterers and pedophiles. Nastiness, filth out of hell, everywhere you turn. This week a couple talking about they had a little app. I want to tell you mom and daddy something. You better take them stinking apps and throw them in the trash can before the devil gets your kid. Their little 5-year-old girl had an app to entertain her while they're working. And I'm telling you something right now. An ad popped up on that thing. Filthy, nasty, sodomite ad. And they got saved. And so a girl began to talk to him about it. The funny thing was, they said, when we looked at the ad would not come up. My husband and I tried during the night to put that thing in front of us. It would not come up. We tried it the next morning. It would not come up. But we went and got our little daughter again, brought her and put her face in front of that app. And that ad immediately come up, sodomite ad. She said, "It's a miracle we found out what was our child was being hit into." And she said, "I'm telling you, mom and daddies, you better wake up. You better wake up. You better wake up while you're working, while you're trying to get that extra money. The devil's going to steal your children."
Amen.
A seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. Look at that. They have forsaken the Lord. That's what's wrong with America. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. Oh, so God gets mad. Now you're not going to like him. Let me just tell you something. I'm not God. He ain't wrote something special for me. But I read this book, America's in trouble.
Amen.
You cannot kill hundreds of millions of babies, the most innocent people in the world that God created. You cannot have a national acceptance of the worst stinking, nasty, filthy, ungodly, perverted stuff in the world and expect God to bless this country. God is going to take away our freedoms. But let me tell you something. Judgment must begin at the house of God. And I'm telling you right now, we've put everything else in front except God Almighty. And we need a revival of preachers and preaching. I'm talking this morning, if you're 12 years old, I'm saying if you're 20 years old, I'm saying if you're 40 years old, if you're 60 years old, we don't need more politicians. Bless God. We need some preachers in this country.
Amen.
This week, I'll get messages from people all over the United States. There's one continuous theme. You know what it is? Reggie, we ain't got no preacher. We ain't got no preacher. Our preacher won't stand for nothing. He just talks about this, that. He'll never address anything. Our preachers went politically correct. Our preachers left the Bible. People are sick of it. They're sick of it. They're sick of it. Last Sunday morning, 2,000 people were listening to this church. Not because of me, but because this church preaches the old King James Bible and they can't find one in their town.
Yeah.
My heart's burdened. Yeah, I'm burdened. I got 15, 17. Oh, bless God, I got a boy and a girl coming for grandbabies. Amen. Twins. Sarah and Glenn, they're having twins. I got a boy and a girl coming. You think I'm going to give up the fight? What kind of country are them kids going to have grow up in? I'm telling you right now, if America had preachers again, amen, we'd have... I'm telling you right now, through the power of preaching, I'm telling you, it's biblical. Listen, he said their sinful nation, they've gone backward. It provoked God to anger. Look at verse number 5. Why should it be stricken anymore? We revoke more and more. The whole head sick. The whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there's no soundness in it. You know what that means? That means from the crack house at the deepest slum in St. Louis to the White House to the Congressional House to the Supreme Court House. God said the whole stinking nation is sick. Supreme Court had a chance this week to stop abortion. Wouldn't do it. Nobody's got any guts. Nobody's got any heart. Nobody's got any love for God. You say, Reg, you're just preaching negative. No, I'm not preaching negative. Bless God, Jesus Christ is coming. He's still on the throne. The devil's going to be put in the lake of fire, and I'm on the winning side. Amen.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, I'm here now. I'm not in glory land, and I'm going to fight. Amen.
Amen.
Listen to me. He said there, the whole soul, the foot, the head, the crown, there's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Look at verse number 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devour it. And your presence is desolate as overthrown by strangers. Look at verse number 10. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, ye people of Gomorrah. You know what God was saying? The whole country is given over to that garbage. Nice preaching. Nice preaching. We're having a good time in glory land. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, you listen to me, these popping circumstances, rinky-dink rock and roll churches with their band, they'll never, Joel Osteen wouldn't preach what I just got through preaching if he was had a neck, a rope around his neck and say, well, hang you if you don't.
That's right.
These churches are getting up there going, praise and worship, praise and worship, praise and worship. And nobody preaching about nothing.
Right.
They're preaching about somebody somewhere out there somewhere. Hey, unless you don't know it, I can care less what you think about me. I'm only concerned that I preach and do what God Almighty tells me to do. I'm telling you right now, I'd preach this if this place was empty. I'm going to preach it if it's full. By the way, I've lost more people out of here than here this morning already. Ain't that the right, Don? For sure. Now you listen to me. I love you. But I'm going to tell you how I knew my daddy loved me. My daddy was honest with me. My daddy tell me the truth. Listen to me. When nobody else. Daddy, when nobody else loved me enough, he'd tell me the truth.
That's right.
Other people that, well, now, Reggie, yeah, let's have a good time.
Yeah, that's right.
And my daddy said, ain't right. You can hate my guts if you want to, Reggie, but I'm going to tell you. I'll tell you what, I wished for 5 seconds I could throw my arms around my daddy's neck and say, I love you, Daddy, for telling me the truth. My daddy told me, building fence one time, he stopped and he said, let me tell you something. If we're not saved by the grace of God, you just won't get a summer shirt on and a fan in your hand because you're headed to a hotter climate. My daddy told me it was by grace. My daddy told me it was by what Jesus did. My daddy was trying to go against all that works religion garbage. What America needs desperately is what God knew Israel needed. And God told Isaiah, but let me tell you something. I hate to tell you this. Hey, I'm talking to you guys God's called to preach. They're not going to like it. Look at Isaiah chapter 6 and verse number 9. Come on, get your Bible open, lazy. I'm trying to make some of you mad so you never come back. Because if I can run you off, if a little 10-cent preacher like me can run you off, you ain't got nothing. Wait till some preacher gets up here and preaches at you. I'm going to tell you how you can tell what they got is how much preaching they can take.
Amen.
Let me tell you something. When I'd go into a church when I was lost, it took 5 seconds for the preacher to make me mad. That's right. Bless God, when I got saved, I wasn't daring him to say anything. Bless God, I'm saved now. Hey, man, you ain't going to bother me. That's something totally flip-flop to me. I'd get mad at him if he went. I don't like to hear him talk barely about it. I want to tell me about it. That's right. Preach around and skirt around and stuff makes me sick. You get the idea, don't you? No, I don't get the idea. Tell me. Preach it, amen. Old Ronnie Simpson said, he used to suck cigarettes. I know you've heard this 1,000 times, but I feel like telling it. He said, I was a backslid, worthless, he's a sorry, low-down churchgoer. And he said, that preacher get up here and said, it seemed like every Sunday morning, he'd get up and preach on cigarettes. And he said he'd lay his old bony arm across that pulpit and say, you sorry suckers, still out there sucking them cigarettes. And he'd say, I just made me mad. Now, he said if he preached on mini skirts and drugs, I'd jump up, amen, preacher, let them have it, amen, let them have it. And he said one Sunday he preached on that. He said, it seemed like he preached on cigarettes every Sunday. Did you know it'll seem like a preacher's preaching on your sin every Sunday till you get it fixed? It will. If he never even mentions the word, the Holy Ghost is going to. And Ronnie said, he said, that preacher preached that one Sunday. He said, I slunk down in my seat again. And said, my wife, she took her elbow and said, come on, shout now, big boy, shout. No, don't do that to your husband, women. But anyway, he said, about 3 or 4 Sundays later, he said, actually, it's home. And he said, I walked out across the yard and he said, the Holy Ghost dealt with me. He said, why do you get mad? Because he preached on cigarettes. You're not saved by sucking or not sucking cigarettes. You're just a sucker. It's not your salvation, but it's not a good testimony, and I've called you to preach. Why don't you give it up? And Ronnie said, I told the Lord, I said, I can't give it up. God, that's really the problem. It owns me. I don't own it. And by the way, that's the way it is with your sin. And he said, I went out there on the ground and I knelt down. And I said, God, if you'll take him away from me, I'll never suck another one the rest of my life. I'm done being a sucker. And he said, God took him away from him.
Amen.
So he said, I couldn't wait to get back to church. Oh, I waited. I said, I knew he had hit that cigarette and I was going to jump and grab a hold of a chandelier and say, bless God. And he said, I went for 6 weeks and he never mentioned cigarettes. Amen. He never mentioned them. And he said, finally, one day, he said, he laid that old bony arm across that pulpit and said, you sorry, low down cigarette suckers. And he said, I jumped up and said, bless God Almighty, preach it, I don't suck them no more. Let me tell you something. If you ever see God Almighty, stuff won't bother you that bothers you now.
Amen.
Your problem is you need to get right with God. You say, well, I would, but so-and-so and this and this and that and that. I tell you, the devil's going to so-and-so and this and that and that and that all the way to hell with you.
Amen.
Amen. You get right with God. Let God handle the rest of the garbage.
Amen.
This nation is going to hell. Good grief alive, I ain't even got... That's my introduction. He saw him high and lifted up. He saw the Lord high and lifted up. The holiness of God. I've got all kinds of scriptures, but I just want to say to you, Wednesday night, we're studying this passage on Hebrews. Did you know God's going to turn this earth upside down and he's going to shake it? Read your Bible. Read the book of Hebrews. The book of Isaiah and the book of Hebrews. I'm telling you right now, the wrath of God is coming against this world and you better be getting you a ticket out of here. Amen?
Amen.
And that ticket's through Jesus Christ. But here's what I'm saying to you this morning. Unless you've ever seen God in his holiness, I want to ask you, what does your God allow in your life without any chastisement, without any rebuke to you? We could read a bunch of scriptures on that. Let me just give you something. In Luke chapter 12, the Bible said, fear not them which can kill the body, and after that have no more they can do, but I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after you have killed hath power to cast both soul and body in hell. Jesus said, if your eyes offending you, you'd be better off to gouge it out, to pluck it out, than to have two eyes and go into hell fire, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Jesus said, if your hand's offending you, if you're doing things with your hand that God is offending you, in other words, causing you to trip and fall, keeping you from the cross of Christ, keeping you from being saved, God said you'd be better off to cut your... Are you listening to me? God, Jesus, the one you claim you worship, the one you say is God, said you'd be better off cut your hand off if it's offending you, keeping you from doing what God have you do, and you enter into life, he said, better off with one hand than having two hands and go into hell fire where the worm is not quenched where the fire is not quenched, the worm dieth not. You listen to me. Jesus said, if your foot is offending you, going places and doing things, He said, you better off cut your foot off. You listen to me. Can you imagine somebody walking this church house this morning and they got one eye been gouged out, they got one hand cut off, and they got a foot, and they're doing like this? Yeah. What happened to you?
Yeah.
Better off this way than God and go to hell.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
People don't think squat about hell. People say go to hell like it's just a byword. I'll go to hell. You don't have a clue what you're saying. Can you imagine what it is to die and go to hell this morning? Dan was telling me about a man this week who was out feeding his cattle and had a heart attack and died out feeding his cattle. When they found him, his side by side was still running, Kenny. Are you listening? He loaded up to go feed his cattle. Really, be honest with you, sound like a pretty good way to go to me. Get on your side by side and go feed your cattle and go to heaven. But what I'm saying is this. I'd guarantee you, when he left the house that morning, he didn't think, when he left the house that morning, and some of you in here, you think you're going to live next week, next month, next year, you don't know. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. Can I tell you something, what's coming? Listen to me. I honestly believe this with all my heart. God hasn't told me anything special other than what I read in his word. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus did say as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Noah, the earth was filled with violence. This country is fixed to be filled with violence. Some of you scared. Some of you know right now. There's a lot of places dangerous to go. There's violence everywhere. Just yesterday or what day before, a man walked up and ambushed two Hispanic police officers down in Texas, killed them on the spot, shot them in the head. Then he walked, then he began chasing, he shot himself in the head. Every day of our life around here. But let me tell you about violence. If you were a little bitty baby about the size of my finger, and you were in the womb of your mother, and all of a sudden, cold steel and a force, vacuuming force. You talk about violence when you take a pair of pliers and put it around a little bitty baby's head and you crush it. You talk about violence when you turn that baby around that's older and you pull it out backwards, and when its head comes, you stick an instrument in the back of its skull. That's violence beyond violence. This country is full of violence. Secondly, Jesus said it was the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That means there's going to be a lot of queers and sodomites and perversion in this country. Let me tell you something about this Weinstein deal and all that stuff. There is a pedophile ring in Hollywood and in high circles of this land that if it ever, I doubt that it'll get busted till the Lord exposes it at the white throne judgment. We're living in a wicked, wicked, wicked land when children are sold as sex slaves. When you're afraid to have your children playing in the yard for fear of somebody picking them up, you're living in a wicked land.
Amen.
And our Lord Jesus told us it would be like that. Let me tell you what's up. One of these days, and I pray soon, we're going to be out doing something. And all of a sudden, the trump of God's going to sound.
Amen.
The voice of the archangel. The dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord and with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And the Bible said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. But let me tell you what's coming after that. You're here this morning. I believe we're on the brink. I might be wrong. I don't know when the Lord's coming, but I tell you one thing. I believe men ought to be getting a saddle on.
Amen.
Amen. But let me tell you what's happening after that. When Christ takes this church out, the awfulest 7 years you've ever seen on the face of the earth. Jesus said there never has been a time like it, and there'll be a time after it. It'll be so terrible. And there's going to be an Antichrist come on the scene. And let me tell you what's scaring me to death right now. All across the United States, people are being told to wear a mask, and they'll do it like that. They just immediately bow down. They tell you to do this. They're telling preachers don't have church. When they've got a biblical mandate to do it, and they have a constitutional mandate to do it, and they won't do it. I've had people call me up and say, Reggie, what do you got? It looks like you guys are having church. I said, you better believe we're having church.
Amen.
Are you having them wear masks? No. Are you having 6 feet apart? No. We just went back to having church.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm not letting some heathen tell me how to worship God.
Amen.
I had a man call me from Arkansas, talk to me from Arkansas the other day. He said, Reggie, COVID-19 is killing our churches down here. He said, I mean, they've got it down on us tough down here. And he said, I said, let me just tell you what's up. I said, that shows you how easy people will take the mark of the beast. We're moving to a cashless society. They tell you to do this. We just salute, bow, click our heels, and goose step. It's sick. And let me tell you something. That's going to make this deal look funny because there's going to be a mark required. You're not going to Walmart. Are you listening to me, mamas? You're not going to Walmart. You're not going to Dollar General. You're not going to Amazon unless you've got that mark in your forehead or in your right hand. You tell me people won't take it, they'll take it in a heartbeat. They'll line up to take it. It's coming. And some of you are dinkering with your life. I'm going to tell you something. I've had a rough week. Some weeks are rougher than others. Life is tough sometimes. It seems like I'm having more spiritual warfare than ever. But inside my soul, my heart is rejoicing.
Amen.
Even so, come quickly, Lord
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
I've read that Bible. I'm not hanging around for that mark. Amen.
Amen.
I ain't taking that mark.
Amen.
Just well, shoot me now. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, I ain't taking that because I'm going to tell you something. If you take that mark, your destiny is sealed to hell.
Yeah.
Read your Bible. Read Revelation 14. The Bible said those that took that mark, the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. For all of eternity, you will not rest. The Bible said in that tribulation period that there's going to be beasts come out of the heart of this earth, and they're going to have tails with serpents' heads on them. And they'll bite and sting people. A third of the rivers will turn to blood in the ocean and so forth. A third of the trees will be burnt. You ain't never seen nothing like it in your life. We need preachers.
Amen.
We need people who've seen the Lord. We need people who've seen themselves. I'm going to tell you the happiest day you'll ever get. I've been thinking all week long about repentance. What does repentance do to a person? It's the goodness of God that leads a man to repentance. And one of the happy things is, did you know, Brother Lawrence, that if I repented, I wouldn't even have to tell you? Why? It would be evident in my life. You'd look over at your wife and say, something's happened to that guy. He ain't the same guy he was. Did you know if you repent, you don't have to go around telling everybody? It'll just manifest itself in every direction of your life. I never will forget. I hadn't been saved a week. I was coming up the road. Boy, I was just happy as a lark, you know. I thought, you know, that. And the Lord brought somebody to my mind that I had offended, that I had hurt. And the Lord says, I want you to go fix it. And I started telling God all why. I just really, that wouldn't be a good idea. And anybody ever been there?
Trying to educate the Lord.
I was trying to educate God. And then I you know, like, well, it wasn't that bad. And of course, the Lord wouldn't let me go. And I tell you what's beside, here's what beat this thing. I was headed on my road out to the house, and I met him in his pickup truck. I was like, and I met him, and I go, and I'm telling you, that's gravel. That used to be called, my dad used to call that Washboard Boulevard before they paved it. And I just got past him. It's like God said, you don't fix this, me and you having trouble. On the gravel. And I hollered back, and by it, believe it or not, he saw me and stopped. Isn't that a marvel? I backed my pickup up. I said, listen, I got saved about a week ago, and God brought to my mind how I treated you in an issue. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I, to this day, feel that I was right in the general issue, but the way I handled it was wrong.
Amen.
It was full of pride, anger, selfishness. And I said, God's been dealing with my heart. I said, I need to ask you to forgive me. Would you forgive me? That's a look he gave me. He said, yeah, I forgive you. I didn't, let me tell you that I could have went around telling him, I got saved. You know what he said? Well, why don't you fix it then if you got saved? You ever get saved, you ever repent, it'll just, you can't help it, amen? Now, it was a lot, somehow it was a lot easier for me back then than it is now. You get old, you get hard, right? You get old, you get hard. I want to ask you something today. Have you seen the Lord? You see, the more I see God, the more filthy I see Reg Kelly. I'm honest with you, this is not stupid preaching. I am probably the worst sinner I know about. I've made more stupid stuff than I'll ever be able to fix. But let me tell you why I see that. Whereas used to, all I would see was my self-righteousness. I was comparing myself among other people. Well, I ain't any worse than they are. And I'm not as bad as they are. Now that don't matter. You see him. And I'm going to tell you, here's the truth. You will never see yourself till you see his glory. And if you ever see his glory and see yourself, you will be so overwhelmed with the gratitude of his grace that you say, Lord, what you want me to do? I'm going to especially ask on this screen this morning. I want to talk to some of you people listening a long way away. In your area, there are no churches that preach the King James Bible. What about you listening to me? Has God called you to preach? Has God called you to start a church? You say, boy, that'd be a rough job. I'm telling you, that's what made this country.
Amen.
That's what made this country. And by the way, listen to me, men didn't used to feel like they had to go to 4 years of Bible college and 3 years of seminary. They studied the Bible. Danny, if you or I, either one, would have went to Bible college and seminary, we'd have never mounted a hill of beans. It'd have ruined us. And I'm going to tell you what I believe in the old time preaching way. You got a little town out there that needs a good Bible believing church. First of all, you surrender. Do what Isaiah said, Lord, I'll go. And then you say, Lord, I've got a Bible. Will that do? And then you just rent you an old place or start off in your house. And you go out there and you work on your construction job, or you do what you do and don't ask for 42 churches to support you with $5,000 a week. And waste 4 years of your life dilly-dallying around. I know you get mad at me. I can't help it. That's a new phenomenon, by the way. That's not old-time Christianity.
Amen.
And you get out there and say, you know what? I'm going to start a church. And if it's just my wife, bless her heart, I'm going to preach to her every Sunday. I had an uncle. You listen to me. I had an uncle who was in the Okinawa invasion. He said, Reggie, the night before they took us in, they lined us up on that ship. And that guy got out in front of us and he said, they're going to bring your wheels by. He said, one out of three of you boys ain't coming off that island except in a box. Sign your wheels. Make sure you got it to go and everything you got. He said, of course, none of us had anything, but we're going to give our army shoes to somebody if we still had them on. He said, we signed our wheels. He said, Reggie, I had no idea whether I'd come in or not. He said, they put out that big rubber deal there on the ship for us to study. And he said, on that deal, there was a wall, rock wall about that high, about 4 foot high. And he said, they said, behind that wall is where the machine gun nests are going to be. And he said, that's where they're going to mow you down. He said, you're going to have to charge it and overwhelm it. But many of you will die going after that wall. You've got to knock it out. Dean said, Richie, I dreaded that wall. I want you to listen to me. Please listen to me. He said, I dreaded that wall. My thoughts would go back to my mom and my dad back in Missouri. My brothers and my sisters. Our house, our barn, our cellar, our garden. Would I ever see any of them again? I'm halfway around the world. Is tomorrow going to be it? He said, you get right with God if you got any sense. He said, they put us in them boats. And he said, we headed in. We kept waiting for the bullets, kept waiting for everything. But he said there was a good thing happened. And the reason I'm telling you this, because we talked about prayer this morning. God is trying to get me to repent of my fleshly efforts and go to prayer more. But he said, before we went in, he said, they sent the high bombers in, and they just carpet bombed that place. Then they sent the medium bombers in. They come in lower, and he said they got more intense in their bombing. And then he said, before they sent us off, he said they sent in low bombers in. He said, I mean, right above the water. And he said they absolutely ripped that beach to pieces. He said, Reggie, that plank went down, and I hit the water. Me and my buddies, our packs on and our guns in our hands. And he said, when I hit the grass, he said, we were down low. We expected machine gun fire, and nothing came. And he said, I began to look for the wall because I knew that's what we were supposed to get was this wall. I've got to get that wall. He said, I kept moving forward on the beach. Where in the world's that wall? It ought to be here by now. And he said, Reggie, all of a sudden I recognized the wall. It was crumbled rocks on the ground. The bombers had pulverized the wall. Now listen to me tight. He said, there was no enemy there for us to face at that time. And he said, this is what went through my brain. My grandmother, Carrie Rhodes, was a praying woman. She had 5 sons in World War II at one time and 2 son-in-laws. She had 7 boys she prayed for every day. My mother told me, she said, I've seen her grab her apron from cooking and would take her hands and her face like that and run into the bedroom, slam the door and fall on her face before the bed and cry out to God, oh God, be with Dean today, be with Rod, be with Jess. Be with Clyde. God keep him safe. And he said, Reggie, I knew what it was. He said, my mama's prayers were the flight that went in. And he said, for 50 years, I pastored this church in Lebanon, Missouri. He said, God protected me. That's what those bombers. He said, Reggie, a church, a family, children, a marriage has to have prayer covering. He said they would send us in for 3 days and pull us out because you couldn't take the blood. You would see so much blood, he said, psychologically you couldn't take it. He said one night I was in a ravine. We was working away at the ravine, and he said the bombs were just coming down and blasting. And he said the light went off in the darkness, and he said right below my feet was an Okinawa boy with a bullet hole right in his forehead, laying there dead, right at my feet. He said screams, blood. Smell of burnt flesh. Dead bodies. And he said, God, if there's a hell, I don't want to go there. And he said, at that moment, God called me to preach. That's right, there is a hell. And I don't want you to go there, and I don't want people to go there, and I want you to go back to Missouri, and I want you to preach. My Uncle Dean was a great man. I could tell you story after story that he shared with me as a young preacher that has helped me to this day. But he came back, moved him and his little family up to Lebanon, Missouri, rented a store front there on what's now 5 Highway going right through town. Started off with him and his wife and 3 kids. His oldest son told me, said, Reggie, for week after week after week after week, we had church and nobody came. My dad would get home from work, and he said he'd jump in the car and hit the town, house to house, inviting folks to church. He said, glory, hallelujah, one Sunday, 2 old ladies came to church. He said, we danced all over that church house. We thought the whole town of Lebanon had come. And then he said, when we really got to thinking about 2 old ladies, they're not even going to get married and have kids. Listen to me. If you know anything about Dean's work up there, I can't tell you that whole story, but he said God knew what we needed before we needed anybody else. He said those 2 old ladies were prayer warriors. And he said, Reggie, those 2 old ladies began to pray for the Spirit of God to move in that town. And he said, the next thing I know, I won this man to Christ. And the next thing I won this man to Christ. And the men I was working with out on the job, let me tell you something, preachers. You're not going to win nobody living in a glass preacher's house and the parsonage sitting on your backside doing nothing except watching Oprah Winfrey and reading your denominational line for next Sunday. You ain't going to mount the hill of beans. And he said, them two women got on their face before God. And he said, the next thing we know, he said, this family come in, that family come in, that family come. Next thing they know, they built a church. And then later on, they built another church. And I'm telling you something, that's how it's going to have to happen. The old time way. I want to ask you this morning, has God called you to preach? You say, Reggie, I couldn't ever preach. I'm not as stupid or crazy as you are. That's good. Amen.
Amen.
You don't want to be like me anyway. Amen. You be who God made you to be.
Amen.
There are people you can win to Christ I'll never touch with a 10-foot pole. God's got a lot of different tools in his toolbox. I'm an old wore out, rusty looking hammer. I ain't not good for hitting people's toes with. But I tell you, God's got people that are soft and tender and loving and kind. And they can reach people. You don't measure yourselves among yourselves. You say, Reggie, what are you up to this morning? Who will go for us? Whom shall he send? Who will go? It's a shame. More men are answering the call to preach out of prisons than out of churches. Let's bow our heads.